Hello, everybody. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Coca-Cola.
Oh, no.
No.
What are you talking
about? Not on a Pepsi show.
You pimp Coke? It's bad enough we pimp Pepsi. You got to pimp Coke now.
Doug said not to.
I know, I did. I did say
no Coke products on the show. But yeah, he slammed his fist down the table.
Everything to go flying.
Yeah, everything's been flying. We recover quick. Get on the air.
You guys, this is a really, really cool show because we've got an extra special guest. We've got Simeon Hain coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Hain?
I don't know how he pronounces
it. We'll have to ask him.
We'll have to first thing. We'll
I know he's
him.
Like a remote viewer. He's into crop circles. This is going to be something.
Well, he's
new
into his
yeah.
book. He's got a brand new book out called Opening Minds.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the short title of it. And it's about a lot of stuff. There's actually, I went through like, you know, he's got a sample chapters up on his site.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to pull that out somewhere here in a second. But I was just kind of grazing through it. And he talks about a lot of things, namely synchronicity.
Oh.
Yeah. So that kind of caught my eye.
Well, that's really amazing because talk about synchronicity. That goes back to the very first, you know, phone-in guest was, of course, Mark Russell Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
Who basically taught me that... to notice everything because
yeah.
it's just not an accident. All this stuff just happens and
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily an accident.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, pretty much
There's a lot tied into it, though. I mean, as far as his the intro, like the teaser for the book, he does talk about things like, you know, what if remote viewing, for example, which we're probably going to talk about pretty in-depth today with him. What if remote viewing was actually an accredited science someday where the public did view it and the corporate medium, as far as media goes, actually endorsed it? There would be a big problem because what would happen is every time the president would have something to say, they'd question it. They'd be like, well, what do you really mean by that?
Oh,
so there's it's an interesting concept he has as far as remote viewing goes and things like that, but he is an
phenomenal
remote viewer. First, though.
No, first we have to do business. we got to do Ghostly Talk business.
Okay.
And that is Ghostly Talk is live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And I noticed that, for example, there's a website, and it's awesome. It's ghost2ghost.org, and it's a number two in the middle.
I've seen that.
Yes, ghost2ghost.org. He puts the times in Pacific time, which is really cool because they're in California.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was pretty cool. I was emailing Richard earlier of ghost2ghost.org. Anyway, ghost2ghost.org says it's whatever time
it
is.
4 p.m.
4
p.m.
Pacific time, but 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time,
mm-hmm.
Sunday nights, that's when we're live. We're replayed all the time, you know, in some kind of rotation schedule on Pioneer Radio Network, which
mm-hmm.
is pioneer.rolo, ROLO.net.
Just go there and look at their schedule.
Exactly. And we're also on KSSX and Moist FM on Fridays. And
haven't heard that in a while. Moist.
I know. Not since last night. Speaking of last night...
My pillow is moist.
last night, I just have to take a moment of airtime to mm-hmm. honor my brother
yeah.
and his
no,
new
yeah.
wife, Becky
mm-hmm.
and Pete. Congratulations.
I wasn't at the wedding, but, man, if the wedding was half as pretty as the reception was... Wow.
It was absolutely incredible. It was incredible.
I know a lot of brides, almost every bride looks beautiful, but she was very, very
Becky looked
beautiful.
Great, yeah.
And I hadn't talked to her the whole time. I don't really know her,
mm-hmm.
but I thought, I have to say something to her, and that's one of the things I said. I'm like, you are so beautiful.
She
you
looked really good.
Lovely.
She is absolutely, and she picked my brother up in a bar. I told that story.
I know, yeah.
I told that story on Ghostly Talk before. I'm still shocked, and now they're married.
Yeah,
you know
they're in the Caribbean right now.
Yes, yes. As
that was a big surprise.
My brother, who is romantic, he's organized. He's absolutely phenomenal as a person,
mm-hmm.
right? And smart, you know, he's like a teacher or what do they call it, instructor.
He claimed you to be smart, the smartest.
I
thought that was kind of cool.
Thank you.
Did you hear us rooting in the back?
Yes.
Woo!
I was watching everything. And but yeah, he's smart. He's an instructor at Michigan State University
mm-hmm.
in East Lansing,
mm-hmm.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like absolutely brilliant. He's organized. He's a lot of things that I aspire to be, even
mm-hmm.
though he's like 9 years younger than I am. He's a lot more grown up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now he's, you know, complete. He's got Becky, and
mm-hmm.
I just think that's phenomenal, and I wish him all the luck in the world. He's
yeah.
very romantic, so what he did...
You're telling us this now, after he's taken?
Right, right.
Yeah.
what he did is he kept the honeymoon a secret even from Becky.
Yeah.
And she had no idea. She's like, I have to know how to pack, finally. And initially, a couple weeks ago, he said, you better pack for cold weather, trying to throw her off. You know, that kind of thing. And so it came down to a couple days, and he's like, you're going to have to pack for warm weather. So all she knew was that it was going to be a warm. At first, she thought it was going to be cold, then she thought it was going to be warm. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, and he announced it
at the reception.
At the reception. After the reception, we're going to go at 9 in the morning on a plane to go to Miami to get a cruise of the East Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. And you could tell that she, like, really did not know.
She had absolutely no clue.
When I talked to her for that brief moment at the end of the night, she was like, and I didn't even know where I was going for my honeymoon.
I
know. She really didn't know.
It's like door number 3.
somebody usually slips up or...
But nobody
said.
Could. No. Nobody
this
could.
This is serious
up
business here. This is a wedding.
I pretty much knew.
That knew.
I pretty much knew because my mom had a dream or whatever, and she's usually good at that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, she'll dream if a child's going to be a boy or a girl, and she's usually even more correct than the ultrasound.
Oh.
I'm not kidding.
Mm.
And but she somehow come up with, I don't know if it was a dream or what, but she's like, it's got to be a cruise. And so she, I usually listen to her when she's got those instincts, because, you know, those,
right,
you know, female instincts or motherly instincts. I don't know what kind these kicked in, but they were, you know, they're usually correct. And it turns out it was a cruise, which was pretty cool. And it was like Becky won a cruise or something for her wedding. But yeah,
it would have been cool if you could spin the wheel on where you're gonna go.
Oh,
and everybody's like,
"Great Disney World, wonderful." Never been there before.
What's that about?
Toledo.
Held in Toledo.
I would love.
We have guests in the studio, and you just dissed Disney World in front of.
Oh, God, here we go. Sorry,
just
Bonnie.
Just shredded their dreams.
What dreams? I've been to Disney World and Disneyland.
I've been to Disneyland a few times, but I have not been, we all know this, to Cedar Point.
So if
I get married, I want to go to Cedar Point.
Cedar Point?
No, I do not.
Well, you're a cheap date. When do you want to get married?
How about eventually, yeah. Not for the honeymoon,
I
want
to go to the
honeymoon.
Quickie.
Well, actually, from what Alex says, from my band, he's going there like every other weekend now.
Oh, really?
Whenever we're not playing, he's going, I'm at Cedar Point.
That's because his date gets half off because she's...
No, he calls me from there. He's like, man, the suites they have here are really nice at Cedar Point. They're like really, really nice.
Yeah.
Like real top level. So it might be a nice place to go for a honeymoon. Who knows? It depends on how goofy you are.
So what happens is I have to say thank you, Scott L. Thank you, Bonnie Jamarusti. And thank you, Karma, for coming out to the reception.
Thanks for feeding us and getting
dinner
us drunk.
Dinner was delicious.
Yeah.
I wish I would have grabbed the chicken.
I'm sorry, the chicken was phenomenal. I wish I'd have grabbed a pan of it, you know, and snuck it out to the car.
Food was great, but I took it easy on it because I knew if I ate too much, I'd just be like,
I didn't care.
Out.
Oh, I have to tell everybody about the cake. If anybody is in Southeast Michigan and you're planning a wedding, okay. You have to go, and I did not plan on propping this or you know, pumping or whatever you're pitching. I don't
pimping.
Know. Pimping. Elite Suites. I don't even know where they are. They're like in Wixom, Novi area, okay, but they're called Elite Suites. And we walk in, and the cake was a simple, four-tier cake.
Yeah.
And it was just very simple looking, and it looked like it was kind of like they had forgotten to take the cardboard off of it. But I knew the secret. Okay, I knew the secret.
Forget it.
Actually, it's a real bakery and everything. And what it is that was not cardboard surrounding the cake. That was plaques of white chocolate with chocolate swirls in it. So instead of looking, you know, it looked like it was plastic or something or cardboard, but that was like white chocolate.
It was delicious.
And so what happens is, you know, when you got your piece of cake, it was, you know, the size of a plaque of white chocolate, which was absolutely incredible. They were all the same size that way. But, oh, my gosh, that place, I'm telling you, Elite Suites, they outdid themselves. As far as looking, you know, it's not, the cake was not the kind with the pretty flowers.
No, it was very contemporary
simple,
looking.
Very contemporary, cool. Very simple looking, extremely simple looking. And I did not hear one person say that, you know, they did not like the cake.
I had one piece, and it was just like perfect.
Well, I had
that's
one.
I stopped. That's why I had one piece, and that was it.
I had one, and then I had another.
And then you guarded the other one.
And then, yeah, and then
you
I
slept
made
with it on your pillow.
Yeah, I had to guard the one for Craig.
I was so tempted. I'm biting into that. That would
have been awesome.
There might
be a bite taken out.
I was like, Craig, that was probably karma.
It's a little karma bite.
Well, I saw it there by the sink last night in the hotel room, and I'm
yeah.
like...
Cake.
Take this in the bathroom and just gobble it all up. Gone. Where would a cake go?
That's for my friend Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a great time. We got to thank you for having us and letting us drink.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. But
drink the place dry.
I appreciate everybody showing up.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was really good. And thank your family for letting us come and
tear
the place up.
Cool.
Everybody was pretty well behaved.
Yes.
To a degree. Until we got into the after party.
If Will would have been there, it would have went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would have been naked. It was just like, the receptions are always, you got to be proper, you got to be cool. Some people get a little wild. We'll leave the names out of the wild ones.
I could see him lifting a kilt up or two.
Yeah, we had kilts there last night.
Yep, there were two guys.
We had kilts.
Formal. What, is that Celtic wear or is it just Irish? I don't know. The
Scottish.
Scottish, okay. Formal wear for, for that area is kilts. And that, those weren't like, the informal.
They
floppy,
had the Birkenstocks on, too.
Yeah, they had the Birkenstocks. It was formal wear.
And
it
God nice. Bless.
And it looked really sharp. I was like,
oh, they look great. They look great. There's pictures up on the site, too, by the way.
Not of the kilted people, but
not
of
the
me,
kilted.
Yeah.
But no, a lot of the some various pictures of the wedding. We just shot a few pictures that last night, and if you want, just go to the photo section. It's the first album up there. We just threw it up today. Check it out.
And you know what? God bless the United States Marines.
Do you know what? I thought about that. I wanted to go up to him. Oh, yeah. I wanted to go up to Matt,
dreamy.
I think his name was.
Yeah, Matt.
Oh, Dreamy. I wasn't going to say
that's
it was Dreamy.
That's about all he was, though.
I was going to say, thank you very much.
Just, yeah.
And thank him in general. Because despite, that he's a little bit brainwashed, honor and respect what he does.
The kid, we talked, his name, don't matter.
Matt,
his name.
Matt.
Yeah.
We had a really nice discussion with him. He actually had a bit, we got into the discussion, and he actually had a very open mind. He listened to what you had to say, and he just didn't cut you off and go, no, this is the way it has to be. This is what I'm about. Harry Carey, whatever. I mean, I don't know. He actually sat there and said, I understand what you're saying. I really do understand your side of it. And we just went back and forth and talked it over. We didn't sit there and argue or debate about it at all. And he even knew, he's like, oh, man, this is just getting too deep, man. I don't know if I can handle this.
Right.
He was a child, though. Well, he was a baby.
That's the problem. It's not the problem. It's actually a big plus on his column, but because he's going to learn all this stuff. But we're already old and bitter, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not karma, and not Bonnie, and But I'm talking about the everybody else I know. I'm old and bitter, and I already know the way the world works.
I know how it works too. You go to work, pay taxes.
They screw you every time they get a chance.
I know.
It was amazing how young he looked. A lot older, obviously.
He did.
And when he told us how old he was, well, he didn't tell us how old he was. He just told us what year he graduated. And I'm like, oh my God.
I have never lied about my age, and I lied last night.
Yeah, you didn't finish yet. You didn't answer him. He was like, how old are you? Or he told you how old you were.
Somebody about like 24, 25.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, and you just kind of left it at that.
I'm 23.
Well, yeah. You could have got
offended. If he wanted me to be 19, I was 19.
I got an email from a new Ghostly Talk listener.
Uh-huh.
I was going to tell you off air, but since we're talking about this stuff, who says, Karma's voice is sexy.
Ooh.
Nate. Yes. Nate says Karma's voice.
And silence comes over the room.
I think he emailed me.
Okay.
I think if it's
with pictures.
No. I think it was
ASL.
The one that said, you know what, Doug and Will and Scott, they talk about what, basically what they're into, their personal lives, but you really don't, so what do you like?
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
I like long walks on the beach.
We should probably trace the IP and find out if he's in Michigan.
Yeah. And
or if not, what if he's in the Caribbean? There you go.
You freaking stalker.
You go to a wedding and love is in the air.
Oh, God.
I so wanted that to be me last night.
That's why I kept drinking.
Body, too, because she had a nice body.
I have to say, Becky looks like a model.
Yep.
She's
very
really,
pretty,
really does.
Very pretty girl.
The hair was done by Wendy of the Hair Saloon. In
just pimp everybody that had something to do with the wedding.
Well, to
and her
Lawrence Welk dress.
Carrie Winston Diamond.
She and I think Wendy did an awesome job. I've not met Wendy, but I know the owner of the hair salon, my friend Tony.
Yeah.
And we're like, we want Tony to do the hair. We want Tony. Tony's like, look, okay, Wendy's the one for the updos and all that stuff for the wedding hair. So so he hooked her up with Wendy, and just phenomenal. The girls' hair, my nieces, phenomenal. That's in Sterling Heights. It's called the Hair Salon. He bought the shop.
Do you have a URL or anything we can throw out?
I don't think so.
Any specials?
Call now. It'd be 10% off. No,
what's my phone number?
I have no idea.
It's youlooksmokinghot.com.
No, it was an interesting awesome evening. It was after the reception, we had a pretty interesting evening at the karaoke bar.
Oh, I know. They're like, we're going to go to the Hennessy.
We actually left the bar with somebody chasing us. I mean, that was the thing. We left the bar. You weren't in our car.
Did you go get your car washed?
Not yet.
Okay.
We left the bar with some angry drunk guy chasing our car. Because Doug drove. He drove my car because I had too much to drink. And we were like, yes, I did come off the wagon, Will. You give me that look. I did come off the wagon for one. I was doing it as a favor to Mrs. Semek.
And actually, she did tell everybody, drink like fish.
And I made that very clear to everybody as I was like sucking down every gin and tonic that came towards me. I said, I'm doing this for Mrs. Semek. I'm doing her a favor because I love the woman and I need to help her out. So, fine.
She helped
out a lot. But, we left the bar. I don't know what was going on, but we had a bunch of guys. We just, like, they got there somehow, but they couldn't get back. I don't know, they teleported or something like that, but they couldn't drive. They had to just stuff in my car, and we get stuff in Bonnie's truck. That's cool. And like we're like driving. Well, first off, like KJ? He had a half a beer.
TJ
or
KJ.
He had a half a beer, and I'm like, you can't have that beer in my car, man. You know, and
right?
His girlfriend's screaming at him, and he's like, well, what am I gonna do with it? It's a highlight. It's just champagne and beers, man. I can't do that. I'm like, give me the goddamn thing. Hammer it down. He's like, that's awesome. Bam! Glass explodes everywhere. I'm like, and everybody in the car, like parking lot, looks around. And I'm like, okay, get in the car. Let's go. And as we're driving away, like, here's me hitting on the car. Look back, and there's this angry drunk guy yelling at us. And Doug, like, he's stopping. I'm like, don't stop. Go. Let's get the hell out of here. And then we find spit on my car.
Yeah.
He spit on my Malibu. I'm like, small price to pay. No big deal. There's handprints on the car, too.
You know he'll be up on drunkendialing.com.
I think he already,
or he might already be.
Yeah.
I have a little mini story. That big burly dude that was sitting next to me.
Yeah, he was pretty hot.
Actually behind me.
I was scared of him.
He's that guy scared the crap out of me.
I thought, hey.
Would you like to go dance?
Oh, he asked you?
I said, oh, no, I don't dance. Why not? I'm like, well, I have a bad back. I shouldn't be out there dancing. I'm not going to be whipping you around the floor.
Did you say that the chunky kid next to me with the tabletop, the tablecloth T-shirt on or whatever, that's my boyfriend?
No, I didn't say that.
And he'll beat your ass.
Did you see that guy, though?
I know, I've been like...
You didn't need all of Team MFPS and all of their... people friends. Who've also bought their albums.
He gave me an attitude. He thought I was bullshitting him.
Is that why he went away?
He went like this. He's like, whatever, that's fine. I'm like, I'm serious. He's like, that's fine, I said. I'm like, oh,
he's sensitive, isn't he? You really hurt his feelings.
I don't think
you know, he might have been a nice guy. You know, his job down at the gravel pit, you know, he thinks about love all day long. And he was bald. He was huge and bald and angry looking.
I think you just called him Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
He turned around and was like, what you guys doing? I'm like, okay, well, not that it's anything obvious. We're sitting here having a drink. I didn't want to say that to him. You know, he might hit me or touch me or something. So I was just like, oh, we're just having a good... So who got married? Did you get married? He looks at me. I'm wearing a T-shirt now. Did you get married? Yeah, I got married.
That
and I'm sitting at Hennessy's.
That just says a whole lot about that.
Yeah, they probably had weddings in that bar.
Uh-huh.
And reception. They had the whole thing right there. They get married, and then they just tear down the chapel or whatever, and then here's the reception. There you go. Have fun. But thank you. Hennessy's out in, what, Wixom?
Wixom or Novi.
Yeah, beautiful bar there. And I forgot what the house band. What was the house band? Like the Screaming Skulls of Doom or whoever that was playing? They rocked the house.
They didn't do bad. I was impressed.
Yeah, I mean, they were fun. It was just all around a pretty scary... The end of the night was scary.
End of the night was scary.
We had other drama going on, which was pretty hysterical also, but it was just more... I was laughing about it the whole time.
Yeah.
The end of the night, I'm like, okay, we need to get these people out of here because there's going to be a fight. Somebody was going to brawl if we didn't get out of there. And it would have ripped. If he would have stopped the car,
yeah,
the guy would have been punching on my car, and I'd probably be like, hey, what are you doing hitting my car?
I could have taken that guy, though. That guy, that was,
he looked,
that
he was just kind of, yeah, he kind of looked like his hair was everywhere. And he was wearing a white shirt, and it probably said NASCAR on it or something. I don't know, but he looked pretty. He didn't look too offensive. I mean, as far as like, you know, and then we just went to Taco Bell.
Yeah,
where cool. Another fight, like a mock brawl,
where
broke
we
out
almost
between
the
got car.
Thrown out of the drive-through.
Yeah,
line.
And there was somebody screaming at us from across with a Dunkin' Donuts screaming, and yelling.
Oh, I know.
I had no idea who these people are. It's like we're just pissing people off as we drive along.
We don't even have
and
to
then
do
Bonnie
anything.
Points out. Oh, I guess you can walk through the drive-through. There's like a guy at the window.
Oh, really?
There was a guy at the window?
Yeah. Remember that, Bonnie? You pointed that out.
Oh, my God.
Because Bonnie, at first, I think she was messing with me. She's like, no, I don't want to go through the drive-thru. I'm like, well, I can walk through it. And then I'm like, nah. She's like, all right, we'll take it. But then I see this, or she points out that there's this guy ordering, walking up. And I thought you couldn't do that.
There
no.
is.
Illegal.
I saw somebody do it at a Burger King once in Mount Clemens.
I rode a bike up there one time.
Yeah, I think you were telling me that they're not supposed
okay.
to.
Okay, I do think that there is a haunted hook to this entire thing.
Yes.
Well, the hotel room.
The hotel room, yes.
Another hotel room.
I am absolutely, absolutely positive that somebody died in there.
Yeah, I think they lifted the chalk line just before.
Yeah.
Bonnie, you were the first one there, right?
I think it just like got rubbed away by our feet because it was
somebody died in that hotel
somebody
room.
Somebody had
before.
To.
That door was
the door
was kicked down.
I've never seen a door like this, Will. I've never seen a door like this. Bonnie walked in. Well, when she got to the reception, she's like, "You guys will never believe." I walked into this hotel room and there was where were they at originally, Bonnie?
I'm
in the bathroom sink.
There was screws, like you know, like wood screws, like about an inch and a half long, just four or five of them.
No.
Was there more? Oh, okay, all right, and I'm like, what the hell's that? What's that all about? Which is enough to make you mad, right? When we get to the hotel room, the door is sagging off the hinge. You literally had to lift the door up to shut it. I mean, it was a good quarter-inch drop. It came off the hinge, right? And I'm like, I look at the door. We all look at the door. And the top corner of the door had to have had about 30 holes drilled into it, or screw holes. It used to be screws there, right?
It was holding the door together.
It was holding the door together. If you opened if you went on the outside of the door and opened the door up and looked at the top end of the door, the spine, there was another 30 screws in there too. Somebody literally kicked the door. The frame above the door was all smashed up.
That's awesome.
I'm like,
our room number was 420 though too.
420 was our room
number. I'm thinking it kicked in.
For those who aren't hip on the lingo, 420 is people who like the funny cigarette.
Yeah.
So and there was definitely funny cigarettes at that hotel.
Oh, we smelled. We stepped out.
We
like
stepped out
of
the hallway and it's
like yeah.
There was a convention
party.
There.
But
there was a church convention going on there. Are you kidding me? The next morning they're like, we got Bible study at 11 o'clock in the chapel. And they're like, yeah.
We wanted to go. After they left, they're like, we really
after
should
the party
go pray.
List, yeah, well, we should have prayed. That's for sure. But why, Will? Why would they kick down a hotel door?
Somebody was dead inside.
And they couldn't get in because the key and then the latch. Right.
Maybe
that's
somebody
the
was
only
just mad.
Yeah, but they can program those cards. They have the computer.
Yeah, but what about the security latch? And they had a chain thing? So
somebody
in order to get into a hotel room, if you've got the interior security latch on, that
you got to forcibly kick that door down.
You're going to have to kick the door down.
I told Scott this. When he dozed off, I was like in between dozing off, and I could have sworn a lady walked in our room.
Yeah, she told me that this morning.
I looked up. It startled me, and I'm like, and I actually did, like, hear a door open or something. I don't know if it was the neighbors or whatever getting a little rowdy, but I was like,
I was out.
I could have sworn somebody.
She mentioned
after.
That this morning. The creepiest part about the whole thing, of course, we get there, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna open the drawer next to the beds. I'm gonna open the drawer.
I'm psychic. There's gonna be a Bible.
Well, yeah, there's a Bible.
I'm absolutely.
This time we didn't find a condom. We didn't find a condom,
that
right?
Is
no,
true. There was
we
no
found
condom.
A bottle of hand lotion.
Some gold.
We found a bottle of hand lotion.
Some of it was missing from the.
It was homemade.
I mean,
that's
even creepier than a condom, isn't it? I mean, you at least you know what the condom. Now lotion has a multi-purpose use. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, and I. I just put it away. Like, this is just too weird. I think we just got bad luck with hotels. Yeah. That's, you need to get a new mic, man.
Yeah, I was saying, we need a mic, Will.
That was creepy. Bad.
Yeah.
So,
the
AC worked, though. We found that out. I found that out the hard way.
Thanks for turning on the AC.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks.
And then Doug's like, I'm like, I'll get it, and I turn it, you hear it go,
and it like really, really kicked in, and then throughout the night,
and a blizzard came through,
the temperature in
Abominable Snowman tried to attack me, I fought him off.
It went from 96 ambient temperature, degrees Fahrenheit, because we're in the United States, to about -37.
Yeah. And I had to wear the snowsuit out of my trunk that I keep for special occasions like that. So I was all bundled up because nobody wanted to turn the air down.
No.
So
the last thing I remember Bonnie doing is she was taking off to go to school. She was going, I can see my breath.
Yeah, she did. You could see your breath. It was actually
you hear going.
And those hotel blankets are about maybe they're like pieces of paper that are sewed together.
Because you do not want to use the bedspread, or you don't want to use that little sticky blanket underneath there.
Sticky blanket?
No.
So, especially that one, that probably still had the chalk marks.
The death toilet. There was a death toilet in there, too.
Oh, the toilet.
Would suck your whole leg down if you put it in there.
It almost did.
It was like super sensitive. This thing was just, I really think it was a wormhole of some sorts, because it looked like when they open up the gate in Stargate, it was the same. And then it comes out, and then wham! When it comes, there you go.
It will suck your dog.
We could have been.
Right
we could have been in it.
You don't even have to push.
Yeah. Yeah. Just use it's a new suction technology they have.
Now push the button. You're done and clean. Done and clean.
For a week.
There you go.
You're like.
I honestly think if we had jumped in, we would have been in Atlantis right now. This toilet was it was the creepiest. I mean, I have not seen a toilet of this industrial proportion in a very long time. This thing was pissed. It was angry. It was just. It had teeth, man. It had teeth. It was
Let's take
a break.
Enough
of this wedding crap.
Let's start talking about
the
about
good stuff.
Yeah, with Simeon Hain, and we'll get him or Hein. We'll get him on the.
We'll figure it out in a second.
We'll find out, and we will let you know. And we'll be back in minutes.
Yes, minutes.
Journalistic responsibility.
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah. And what do you think aliens are?
Why talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens.
Responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people, let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing. Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Oh.
Oh.
It's a house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my pool.
Oh.
www.dialogue.com.
Yay.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And we are back here after talking about that wedding thing, which was awesome.
Yeah, it's probably going, why are they talking about
They've
a wedding?
They've been talking about a wedding instead of paranormal stuff. Well, hey,
we have wives, and this is his brother, for God's sake.
Yeah,
and
it was very, very cool. But yeah, so we do have paranormal stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited about
that. Yeah, actually a lot.
Thank heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
So and, recovered from that last half an hour, yeah.
We need our ratings to go up somehow. So we thought we'd try to talk about paranormal stuff.
Yeah, all
on
right,
Ghostly
fine.
Talk.
Yeah. Fine.
What happens is the... I was just saying this. I mean, during when we got Simeon Heim, Dr. Simeon Heim on the telephone, and I was just saying, because he was going to talk about with us about crop circles as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked him, Scott L., you said, can we talk a little bit about synchronicity? And I'm like, okay, is this weird or what? Nobody, you know, everybody looked at me as if I had just grown a horn. And
like usual.
You did.
As usually, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we just had Tone and Niche on last week, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, Tone and Niche were in.
And Tone is really, he's into,
he's
you know,
really
UFOs,
into, yeah,
aliens,
he's into a
things
lot of
like
that.
And he was asking specifically about crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
And what we knew about them, and, well, you know, I know they happen, and he has theories, and he reads up all the stuff, and he was describing how they, you know, sometimes they're broken and they still grow, sometimes they're broken and dead, you know, the stalks of
whatever plant it
plant.
Is.
Yeah.
Corn,
and
usually.
And so now, you know, now we've got a fellow on the phone who can, you know, address that kind of stuff, which is absolutely fantastic, and tell us what's been going on about in crop circles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. Scott L., let's get him on as soon as possible. So start the intro so we can get him on. And I think we should have probably told him that the intros usually just get slobber, or, you know, absolutely.
I'm going to do good on this one.
Okay, watch. Do good. Do good for us. Do good for
Are
us.
Are you ready? Are you
yeah,
ready?
I'm ready.
I got that voice problem again today, so my voice sounds deeper than normal.
Excellent.
Okay. Simeon Hyde received his Ph.D. in sociology from Washington State University in 1993 and is the author of Opening Minds. That's what we talked about a little earlier.
Yes. Yeah.
His dissertation focused on the role of technology in social and economic change, specifically how technology can destroy information and interfere with evolutionary processes. He has taught social research methods and statistics at universities and currently runs the Nonprofit Institute for Resonance and in Boulder, Colorado, an organization he founded in 1997 that specializes in instructing people in the art of resonant viewing and the scientific study of crop circles. He first learned remote viewing at the Farsight Institute in Atlanta in 1996 and has also studied with government-trained viewers. His website, which is devoted to the study of subtle energy sciences, is mountbaldy.com. Since the publication of Opening Minds, Dr. Hine has participated in more than 184 radio and TV interviews. And on that note, I'd like to welcome Ms. Dr. Hine to the show.
Well, good evening, all.
How you doing
here today, tonight?
We're glad to have you on too. Now, you said when we were on break, you said that you just got back from a little vacation. Well, not, I wouldn't call it a vacation.
A working
trip. Vacation.
Yes, a working trip.
And you said you just got back from. Well, it was basically in England.
Right. I've been going over to England since 1997 with Ron Russell of the Denver area, who's been giving these crop circle tours for a long time, and I started out by going on these tours to find out, you know, what was going on with crop circles. I was just really curious, and I actually now help Ron, you know, run the tours, and we just show people around sacred sites in England and get them to have some experience with crop circles.
Now, this is one thing that's always fascinated me, and I know it fascinates Doug and Karma as well. But it's one thing I've never had the time to really get into and really start getting into the dynamics of it, the mechanics of it, you know, what makes a difference, like you were talking about, like the corn stalks, for example, if they could be burned off or broken off or if they grow again afterwards or not. As far as crop circles go, now, I've seen them these wild shapes, for one thing. And I know that that's supposed to represent something, for example. But this is going to sound really bad, but as a real high-level question, what maybe is your opinion on why they do these things? I mean, why would you see these impressions in these giant fields? I know it's a very, very broad question.
Oh, it's a good question. It's really the question everyone wants to know the answer to.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And, you know, crop circles have been around for a long time. They've been around for hundreds of years, thousands of years, really. There's even reports from Native Americans of finding, you know, circular swirled areas of grass a long time ago. And there are different sources of crop circles. I mean, UFOs do leave circular marks behind in grain crops. People have been reporting that for a long time. Australia, the woolly saucer nests, it was referred to. And some sort of weather phenomena creates some of the crop circles. And people make a lot of crop circles, too, especially in England. There's a lot of folks over there making crop circles in the summer, and they're not doing it as a trick or as a hoax. They really are. They believe that it's like a magical art form that creates mystery for people, and that people can have kind of transcendent experiences in crop circles. And I agree. I think that's really true. I mean, I know that when we go into those crop circles, they're mostly man-made, but a lot of strange things happen in those crop formations. I know this is, you know, this is a show about ghostly sort of subjects, and people have encounters with other entities. Batteries will often fail. Cameras will fail or burn out in crop circles. And so something really strange is going on there, regardless of what makes them. And that's what really interests us, is why do those shapes create those types of effects on our equipment? And why do people have such interesting experiences in crop circles? I mean, I think there's something really going on there that we need to look at. It's like a, you know, it's like a gateway to other types of energy and intelligence.
So the shape itself, the symbol that they're creating, or sets of symbols, may have some, in that case, some kind of magical, I'm calling it magical, but I mean, you know, perhaps scientific as well, effect on the energy of the area?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I think they are magical and scientific all at the same time. Magic and science are not all that different. The science has some explanation, and magic seems to be less reliable.
And that's a whole new view on it, because I've always, like I said, I'm very, this is one thing that's always fascinated me, but I've never had any kind of really read up on it a lot, and I've always looked at the people, I know in England there's a lot of crop circles, and I've always looked at those people, they're like, well, they're man-made, and I've always looked at the man-made ones as hoaxes. They're just making these things up to cause controversy, but the view is these are done for a reason now, and that takes me back, I mean, I want to say the Aztecs, they used to make these formations also out of rocks on the ground.
Right.
They'd make symbols and creatures, and what they said they were making these symbols for was to be like, hey, how you doing? To the ships flying over. So they'd see these things flying over, and they were trying to capture their attention. So they made these giant, I mean, these things are beautiful, too. These giant shapes and figures of animals or whatnot to capture the attention of these UFOs. And I kind of thought about those two things together at one time and thought that made sense. But I always thought that the crop circles themselves, crop circles, you know, as opposed to rocks, where if they were human-made or somebody figured it out, well, it's a giant hoax. But that you're saying that they're made for a reason.
Yeah, they really are made for a reason, and they're not hoaxes. These people who make this are quite serious about doing this. I mean, I've been out with them at nighttime watching them do this on several occasions, and, I mean, I wrote about that in Opening Minds. And they, you know, it's cold out there, it's dark, you know, you're missing a night of sleep. They do it because they know it creates magic for everyone. And a lot of people enjoy the crop formations and really feel something.
Well, they're beautiful.
They feel something special, and they're beautiful. And they keep doing this summer after summer because they know that our world wouldn't be the same if we didn't have those especially beautiful patterns in England. I mean, these crop circles appear all over the world, and there might be circle makers all over the world, too. I'm not saying they're all made that way. There are some that are pretty strange, but they tend to be simple patterns. But complex, big patterns, those are made by circle-making folks, and they believe that it creates magical, like a temporary temple, that's what some people call it.
Oh, okay.
Magical space that people can go in where the regular rules of reality are suspended, and anything can happen. And if enough people go into a circle and believe that, it really creates the possibility that it can happen. And that is consistent with what we know from quantum mechanics. I mean, the observer affects the experiment. So this is not just like some people believe in strange things and they're making it up. I thought that was possible for a while until some of these things happened to me in crop circles, strange experiences. People have time shifts and have encounters there, and there's often UFOs in and around crop circles too. So the whole thing is a really, you got to keep your eye on the big picture here with these crop formations. And just because people make them doesn't mean they're hoaxes. I really believe it's part of a larger process of development and evolution for humans. That's what crop circles are about. It's taking us to the next level of, the circle makers call it natural magic, and I think it's like natural technology. It's a form of technology like a natural radio transceiver, a crystalline pattern that has real electrical, whatever, energetic effects that is really beyond any paradigm that any of us have about how they could work. It's not mechanistic, let me just put it that way. It's really not mechanistic at all. It's something really strange, but it's definitely people involved in most of them, I'm convinced.
Not only are there crop circles, but there's also these ice circles, right? Have you seen those?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's different ice circles, tree circles, but they may not be the same phenomena. They may just be caused by something else. I mean, those ice circles, and there's, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to give you the boring scientific explanation. There's these freeze thaw cycles and things like that that seem to explain these kind of patterns that you get in snow and ice sometimes. Some of them are just natural phenomena, and then some of them are not. and you know, I can't totally say which are which. No one really knows. I suspect the ice circles are some sort of temperature change underneath coming, bubbling up from below. But, I mean, I'm not totally sure. I think that's a different phenomena than the crop circles, personally.
Because there's no way that they could be man-made, because the ice I've seen it on is, like, really, I mean, on TV, of course, it's really thin ice, and it has, like, the almost the same unique patterns as the crop circles.
Well, I think, yeah, I don't think people are probably, I doubt people are doing those ice circles because of what you're saying, the thinness of the ice. That's probably something else.
It's most likely weather-related. I mean, if you do take, I mean, as far as physics is concerned, I mean, I'm sure they do have, I don't want to call them tornadoes in the polar ice caps, for example. I mean, I'm sure there's wind formations, for example, that can get into, that maybe touch the snow down and make a circular pattern. You've all been to crafts class where you make your little pot and stuff like that, and you put your finger on there, and it makes a design on there by spinning it around. It's the same type of concept. I that's the way I'd view it, but you're doing it with snow as opposed to clay. It may make a formation.
But it could also be Earth's natural magic, because you've got powers within the earth. I mean, otherwise Mansfield wouldn't be such a powerful place.
Mm-hmm.
Mansfield, Ohio, of course, Ohio State Reformatory.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be such a powerful place. That wouldn't have been why he chose that place. The thing is, there's certain power centers within the earth, and perhaps it's Earth's natural magic coming up and making some absolutely phenomenal symbol, because symbology means a lot. And it does. It's the basis of a lot of magic and a lot of art.
Yeah,
is symbology. And
well, I thought it was symbolism.
Symbology, symbolism.
Symbolism.
It's the same thing.
Symbolism.
You know what? The show I was watching on the ice circles too, as well. They were saying that they believe it has something to do with what we talked about before, the ley lines.
Yeah.
The energies.
We were talking about that this morning.
Yeah.
The energies of the earth. Dr. Hine.
Yes.
Have you ever been in, like, one that you considered to be not man-made? And was it different?
No, I've never been in one of those. I'd like to. If anyone can show me where they are, I'd love to see one. I think everything that I've seen, hundreds, I think they're all made by people in England. I mean, there was a time when I thought they weren't made by people, to be honest, until we met circle makers who showed us how they did it.
Well, that's so weird, because everything I've read, like I said, it's been a limited amount, but the only things I seem to have read is, like, crop circle found in this area, and say that it was an alien ship, but found out that it was a complete hoax, it was man-made. And what you're saying is that, yeah, they are man-made. They are man, and they're man-made for a reason, and there is a bigger picture here. And they're done for a reason. Not
absolutely. There's a bigger picture, it's done for a reason, and I had seen one that I didn't think people were involved in. I mean, I'd love to say that, but I think I've been going to England since 1997, and I don't think I've ever seen one there. Now that I know who these people are, I don't think I've seen one that they haven't done, because I can sit down and talk to them about past years and get a lot of information about which circles they've been involved with, and they're telling me the truth as far as I can tell. But if there are some that are not man-made, you know, I'm sure they exist. I just haven't seen one, because they can appear in places that are far out of the way. The human-made ones tend to appear near roadways and parking lots.
And getaway routes.
Easy access.
Yeah.
Right.
The ones that seem to be more natural, perhaps like ice circles or things like that, are just far out of the way. No one may even see them. So they're a lot harder to spot than the ones that are deliberately placed, you know, by a roadway, the cars can see it going by. There's a real difference there.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say, people can see pictures of the circles that we've made on my website, openingminds.info.
Mm-hmm.
There's a link there for pictures, and we make an experimental circle every year. At least we attempt to. We did one a couple weeks ago here in near Washington State, St. John, Washington. And, you know, the farmer actually helped us make this one. This was the first. He actually helped us. He was so curious about it.
Well, I was going to say, the farmers, I mean,
they got to be going ballistic.
They got to be going, ripping their hair out with something like this. I mean, now you said the farmer helped you out in this situation.
He actually picked up the stomper board and pushed down the weed himself because he's so curious about the whole phenomenon.
Okay.
And we actually, as an Institute for Residents, we're a non-profit, so we were able to give him a receipt as a donation of the crop to our institute for...
Okay. Oh, that's very cool.
Oh, that's pretty
cool.
I've
got to tell you, the farmers in England often put up collection boxes, and there was an article in the Telegraph just about 2 weeks ago saying what a good enterprise it was for the countryside because it brings in thousands of tourists every year to that area to see the formation. So... You know, I mean, it does cause, you know, it's a bit irritating to the farmers. I don't think they lose all that much crop. But when people walk in it, it certainly does do some damage.
Yeah.
The circle itself, you can harvest it because the wheat starts moving back up again. But the people walk in it. But the farmers do put up collection boxes, and they can make a tidy little profit.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it is their crop. It's their property. And I think that's fine. They should do that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, I'll throw a few whatever dollars in there, a few pounds in there. And I mean, why not? I'd do that.
We always pay when we think that's good. Then the farmer benefits from it, and then everyone, you know, everyone benefits. The whole area benefits from the tourism industry that grows up around crop circles, and the circle makers keep, you know, fine tuning their skills, and the farmer gets paid, and everyone's happy that way. And that's the way it should be. And again, it is a generally mysterious phenomena. I've seen enough strange things happen in and around crop circles that. I don't think we know what we're dealing with here, but it's something that's real, and it's alive.
What interesting phenomena has happened to you personally or people with your group who've gone with you?
Well, I've been in there where everyone's batteries failed who walked in within about 2 minutes of walking in the formation. Everyone.
Been there.
Yeah,
been
that happens
there.
To us all the time.
Yeah, we're ghost hunters, so we go out to cemeteries and into people's haunted houses, and boom, batteries go immediately.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. And once you see that, you realize it's not just a tall tale. I mean, it really happens.
It really happens.
It's happened to you guys. You know what I'm talking about. It's really strange. You walk in, and boom, your batteries are gone. Everyone's walking away. What happened to my batteries? You know, what is that? Because it's not in the area. You know, I've gone back to some of those areas later when the crop circle isn't there, and there's no effect. Nothing's happening. Something about that crop formation and that pattern at that time is affecting batteries, and I think that's pretty important. It's important to find out what's
going on. It's very important.
Well, it's very strange because, I mean, you can,
that bridges a gap right there.
You use your equipment over and over and over again, right, and have absolutely no problem with it.
Right.
And then suddenly, you know, you're out and you're like, well, okay, everything's fully charged, new set of batteries, or just freshly recharged set of batteries, whatever, and boom, it's gone. We've also had places where the cameras fail, and I think you mentioned that as well. You can take pictures of anything except one thing.
That just happened in our
trip a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
We were trying to take a picture of a particular tombstone, and Scott K, who we met down there, his camera kept failing.
It would not take a picture of this one tombstone.
Consistently. I mean, it just wouldn't work.
Everything else, not a problem, but this one tombstone couldn't do it.
Well, you know, it might be the same phenomena. We might be dealing with the exact same phenomena.
Well, that's what I was saying. I'm seeing a gap being bridged with this right now. That's what's interesting about it is that, yeah, the same thing's happening with what you guys are doing out there, and the same thing just happened, well, that particular situation just happened to us a couple weeks ago here in the States.
And, you know, that shows that you're dealing with something real because things that are just imaginal don't do that. But things that are real affect your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? And that's what we want to know the answer to. I'm sure you do. You're curious, too. You go out there with your equipment and you're hunting around these places. And what is that energy out there? It's another life force. It's another parallel reality or something like that that is kind of bleeding into our reality or maybe invisible. Invisible reality that's right next to us, but it's affecting our... I mean, you can feel it. I mean, I'm sure you've been in places that really make your hair stand on end sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real... Your body's reacting to something real, but you can't see it. And, you know, we're so materialistic in our society that we think that something you can't see or touch or hear isn't real. But, you know, we know from all this modern science that the most, you know, basic energies that make the universe go round, you can't really see them. They're microscopic, but they're real. And so... What are these energies? I mean, that's what subtle energy science is starting to look at, it's some sort of mind-intent energy that doesn't incorporate into a physical form. It doesn't have a body like we do, a physical body, but it has energy.
Mm.
Interesting. I mean, I think it's fascinating because conventional science doesn't even admit that it's real. But here we see evidence that it is real.
What do you think? Because what are subtle energies then, and what are you studying, and how are you going about it? Or maybe that should be after the break. I don't know. Is that going to be a long topic?
Well, let's just start out. I'll give you a little clue, and then we can pick it up after the break.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're involved with teaching remote viewing,
mm-hmm.
which it also involves subtle energies.
Okay.
And the whole area of subtle energy science has to do with how human thought affects physical reality.
Excellent.
A totally forbidden topic from the point of view of conventional physics, but, I mean, the experimental evidence shows that it's real. And well, so we're at the edge of a real new paradigm here. We're starting to, you know, interact, you know, in a systematic way with another type of energy than just physical, you know, combustion energy that we're used to.
And when you do it through the remote viewing protocols and things, you're doing it fairly scientifically. Because you were trained like by the military remote viewers, is that right?
I worked with one military remote viewer and also Courtney Brown, who was trained by a military remote viewer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know it is. I would say it's scientific in the sense that we use the same protocol every time, and we're trying to be consistent with our with the methodology in a sense. But we still don't know exactly what we're dealing with, and the protocols that were developed by the government do give you kind of a baseline level of consistency, at least how you go about it. But no one knows exactly what's happening once you start the viewing session, how you're actually connecting to that information.
And, of course, why it works.
Nobody... And no one's exactly sure. I mean, that's why I think it has something to do with resonance. I'm convinced it has something to do with resonance, and that's why we call our system resonant viewing. It has to do with the... just like a radio receiver, just tuning to a different station when you turn it on. And our subconscious can do that.
Absolutely fascinating, because we here at Ghostly Talk just had teamed up with Trinity Science International, which is a group of remote viewers, and did a project where we opened up a remote viewing session for anybody and everybody who wanted to try it. And the results were absolutely fascinating.
They really were.
Because they could use any way that they wanted to do it,
right?
Even if they sat down and, you know, burned incense and chanted or whatever they had to do, as long as they, you know, faxed or scanned
yeah,
in their session work, and then we would put it out to a completely third party you know, judge, I guess.
Yeah.
And
well, that was Vance.
And that was Vance. But it was. The results were absolutely flabbergasting.
They were very creepy.
Yeah.
It's on our site, too, Dr. Hine. We actually, if you go to our site, you'll see down the left pane of the like the left side of the site, you'll see Open Remote Viewing Project. We have all the session work on there, the pictures, everything's on there.
Right,
if you want
right.
to check that out.
And it was weird.
It was really weird. It was really weird. And we were, you took part in this, didn't you, Will? Yeah, you did. You couldn't get in,
yeah.
But Doug and myself were what they call the project managers.
So we couldn't take part.
We couldn't take part in that. We were handling the target IDs. And that was it. But it was that was open up to everybody, and it was really it was a very cool experience.
Now I noticed here on your website it says it's open till 20th of August. Is that correct?
That's brand new. Actually, Vance from Trinity Science put that up today. We're opening up a new one, which I have to get with Vance on that. There's a new one starting up also. We're gonna try it again.
Yeah, that one is Trinity Science only.
Yeah, that's
but,
Vance.
But it's I believe he was so encouraged by, you know, opening up the Ghostly Talk Trinity Science project, the Open Remote Viewing project. He was encouraged by the results because these were people, you didn't have to supply your name or your email address or anything like that,
no,
just
totally
your session work. So, I mean, and then it was, you know, added into the data. I think he was, you know, got enough interesting results where he through Trinity Science, wanted to make some open ones as well.
Yeah. So that just came in today, as a matter of fact. I put that up. He put the request in. I put it up today for him. So
yeah, I think that's fantastic. But we are going to do another cooperative one. The one that we had done with all the session work, that closed last month or the month before.
That was in July.
In July, yeah. And the results are under Open Remote Viewing Project on the left.
Yeah,
and it was. It totally opened my mind.
It was very, very...
The results of that.
Why don't we take a quick break, though?
And then let's talk about a little bit about resonance remote viewing
I also want to talk about... The one thing that I've been thinking about here for like the last 10 minutes is, how do you make... We're talking about making crop circles now.
Oh, actually making them?
I mean, I've heard ways, but, you know, you have this really beautiful symbol. mm-hmm. that you've made, and you have no way. You're on the ground, right? You have no way of really telling what it's going to look like down
That's
there.
That's what I was thinking, too. They have a class, like crop making.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, Dr. Hyde, after the break, can we talk about the mechanics of...
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Let's do that. Let's go to a quick break.
Yeah.
And we'll be back about crop circles, synchronicity, everything.
Yeah.
Remote viewing.
We'll be right back.